Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, there will be several stories that I share today as we go throughout the week, head towards Thanksgiving, that should help you be more thankful about the things going on in your life as we look at this nation that we're in and the craziness going on all over the place. So I have a couple stories there that are just, I tell you, y'all, I don't see y'all very often. After a while, I'm like, what? How do I react to this stuff? These things going on. School punishes male teacher for refusing to watch a naked girl who thinks she's a boy. So we'll get to that story. And then have you heard about, or maybe you saw it if you're a Good Morning America fan, Desmond is Amazing, this 11-year-old drag queen who RuPaul is now saying is the future of drag queen. And his parents are all on board and the crowd just loving it, just eating it up. On Good Morning America. Hey, Good Morning America. Welcome to the 11-year-old drag queen, Desmond, that we're all going to celebrate and clap our hands for. It was really just horrific. And then kind of a funny little thing, Ocasio-Cortez, the new congresswoman from New York, is now learning what it's like to be on the stage because she was messing up. She got that there were three branches of government. Now what they are is something different. So I'll play that clip. That was amusing. In the next segment, and she's just on the big porch now, and that's just the way it goes. Also in the next segment, my buddy Jay McMichael, who's a senior photojournalist with CNN. He's been with CNN for 30 years. He's a brother in Christ. Great guy. We met a couple years ago, 2016. He and a crew from CNN came right here to the studio to interview me about what was going on with evangelicals and Trump. That was like the week before or 2 weeks before the actual general election. And Jay and I got to be friends, and I've seen him several times when I go up to D.C. at the Museum of the Bible, and just a great guy, and we've become good friends. And he was out there last week in Paradise, California, with President Trump, Air Force One. He gets to ride on Air Force One pretty regularly, actually. And so after 30 years of photojournalism and everything that he's seen and experienced, I was curious to get his take on the devastation out there. You've got 77 people now, I think, are confirmed dead. Get this, 993 unaccounted for out there in Northern California because of these fires. So Jay's going to call in for the second segment, and we'll get that report right from the ground. He was just out there just the end of last week. I don't know if it was Thursday or Friday. I can't remember which day the president was out there. So looking forward to hearing from Jay and to get his take, and he'll kind of take us into that world. And then several other stories as we go through it today. But interestingly enough, and I think this is from, where did I get this story? This story is about Jerry Brown, who's going to be relaxing some of the logging rules out in California. Of course, Trump will take credit for that. And Trump did mention that is a huge problem out there because of the environmentalists, that they're not allowed to cut down these trees at all. And so I just watched a video earlier today where there's literally just felled trees, just dead trees, rotted trees, stuff all over the forest floor. And it's like a big tinder box. And it doesn't take much to create these fires, and they spread like crazy. So that's what's going on out there. And I think this was from maybe the Daily Wire or whatever. But let me just show you how this works. There's some important information here, but I want to kind of point to the headline and the opening line, because you have to remember, and I tell my students this every Thursday, everybody's playing you. Everybody's playing everybody. And so a lot of the titles of these articles are tilted to one side of the aisle or the other. And so here this one, here's the title of the article. Governor Jerry Brown quietly admits Trump was right, eases California logging rules. Now, Jerry Brown hasn't said anywhere that Trump was right, but quietly admits Trump was right. And that's the headline. Here's the first line. California Governor Jerry Brown appears to have quietly admitted President Donald Trump's suggestion about improving California forestry was correct, and is now urging state lawmakers to loosen restrictive logging regulations put in place to appease environmentalists. The Santa Cruz Sentinel reports that Brown is proposing one of the most significant changes to the state's logging rules in nearly half a century, which is good. Based on everything I've learned, That's absolutely what they need to do. It says Governor Jerry Brown is proposing broad new changes to California's logging rules that would allow landowners to cut larger trees and build temporary roads without obtaining a permit as a way to thin more forests across the state, the paper says. Of course, the environmentalists in California aren't on board. Environmentalists say they're worried landowners will go way too far, you know, because if you're a landowner, you can't do what you want with your land. Cutting down ancient redwoods or clear-cutting property, but even the most ardent environmentalist admits that some thinning is needed. Thank you for that. This is a big change from 2 weeks ago when Governor Jerry Brown balked at President Donald Trump's suggestion that poor forestry and poor forest management might be to blame for the massive wildfires that ripped through northern and southern California earlier this month, claiming dozens of lives and tens of thousands of acres. But he never came out anywhere. And this is why I'm just calling this out, because I just get so upset. I get really kind of ticked off anymore. And it happens on the left, and it happens on the right with these articles and clickbait and all that stuff. Where, again, here's the title of the article. Governor Jerry Brown quietly admits Trump was right, eases California logging rules. He didn't quietly admit at all. There's no quote here from Governor Jerry Brown. There's nothing that he said that, oh, yeah, you know what, the president was right about some of the logging stuff. It just opens with that. And then in the very first line, they back away a little bit. California Governor Jerry Brown appears to have quietly admitted President Donald Trump's suggestion. And I'm glad that Brown's doing this. They need all kinds of reform there on this issue and the logging rules. But, you know, when I see this is, again, I think it's the Daily Wire that's Ben Shapiro's website, which I use a lot. But you see this kind of stuff. And I'm just going to remind you that neither the right nor the left is as pure as the wind-driven snow. I have got more problems with the operations on the left, obviously. But on the right, it isn't either. It's not pure as the wind-driven snow. And you're getting pushed this way and that way all the time. And we just have to be, I think, as Christians, remember, I say this often. I'm going to try to say this every week. Our job as followers of Jesus Christ is to call balls and strikes based on God's word and God's truth. It doesn't matter who's standing at the plate and swinging the bat. So whether it's Barack Obama or Donald Trump, whether it's Governor Jerry Brown or Governor Pat McCrory or former Governor Pat McCrory, who's a Republican here in North, it doesn't matter. You call balls and strikes in the media anymore. That doesn't happen. Everything gets pushed one way or the other. So I just thought it was interesting. I'm glad Governor Brown's doing this, and I think that's a big part of the problem out there. But this article, the way it leans, I just wanted to bring that up to help keep us all kind of honest and discerning about the news that we're consuming. This was kind of interesting. I'm going to talk about this a little bit more. We'll talk to Jay McMichael after the break from CNN. But Trump endorsing Nancy Pelosi for House Speaker, does that upset you at all? Does that give you pause for concern? And then 16 House Never Nancy Democrats oppose Pelosi for Speaker. She's definitely going to win, but this is going to be a very interesting 2 years coming up. And I will have no lack of information or news stories to talk about on the show. When we come back, my good friend Jay McMichael, my brother in Christ, CNN senior photojournalist. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. And met a forever friend, because he's my brother in Christ, Jay McMichael, who's a senior photojournalist with CNN, has been there for a long time. We'll just leave it at that. I think it's been about 30 years now, but Jay and I met. They came here to the studio back during the election in 2016, and we became fast friends. Jay McMichael, how are you, buddy? Thanks for calling in.
What's up, brother? 30 years, by the way.
30 years. That's an amazing career, dude.
Too long.
Well, you got to retire one of these days, and then you and your beautiful woman can ride off into the sunset and leave all this craziness in D.C. behind. But yeah, so 30 years. So you've experienced a lot of different things in D.C. and in fact, around the world. But kind of take us into this trip. You know, what you were experiencing going there, knowing the devastation that's gone on in Northern California, and specifically there in Paradise, California. And you hitch a ride on Air Force One. That's pretty cool. But what were you thinking before you got there? And then what was the experience like? What did you see and smell, and what was that? Just kind of take us there.
Well, you know, and I'm glad you brought up the smell aspect, because a lot of times when we go into situations and we're covering disasters, be they natural disasters or man-made or whatever, you know, you can only see so much and experience so much. It's kind of a two-dimensional experience that you're having at home. But even the president said when he was on the ground yesterday, you know, you just don't really understand the magnitude of the of the destruction until you're actually on the ground. You can see it, you can smell it, you can step in it. And I think right now what they've determined is that the size of the area of destruction is roughly the size of Chicago right now. So that's a lot of damage.
And, that's mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling. So when we landed it at Beale Air Force Base outside of Chico, we landed there on Air Force One, and then we flew via the president was in a helicopter. We flew in Ospreys, the press did, and the support staff and Secret Service, and we flew really through a lot of smoke and clouds and got into Chico and then up into Paradise. And, you know, as we were driving up, you started seeing signs of scorched fields and places that had been burned. But then we started getting into the areas where the homes were, and it was really just complete destruction. Fire really doesn't it's interesting with fire. I've covered a lot of hurricanes. So if you can imagine hurricane-force winds, like 70, 80 miles an hour, which is basically the wind speeds that they were dealing with in this area, that's what was pushing fire along through these areas at incredible speed. So you get some complete destruction with fire, and then you have other areas that are scorched and where it hits some trees, but the trees still have all the leaves, and then some trees go completely up in flames. And so it's really random how what gets burned and how it gets burned. I mean, we saw giant homes that had been taken out, and then just 50 yards away, another home was completely intact.
Wow.
When we got to Malibu later in the day, down in Southern California, we landed at we landed down there and went into Malibu.
Well, let me go back to Paradise right quick.
Yeah,
Let me ask you about that, because you know all the reports and things that we're seeing, whether it's online or social media or television, cable, whatever, is that Paradise basically was completely destroyed, like wiped off the map, total devastation. Was that kind of a kind of exaggerated language there in the media, or would you qualify that as based on what you saw?
I think one of the things that's easy to do when someone is sitting at home is to see pictures that we broadcast out and think, oh my God, the entire city of Baltimore is burning during a riot, when really it's just a couple of streets where the riots are happening. Or Ferguson, Missouri, looked like the entire town was going crazy. It was really just a few streets, a few blocks. In this case, once we got into Paradise, Paradise was gone. I mean, it was basically like a fire hurricane had gone through there. And so all of the homes, everything was just flattened and burned out. And the things that were remaining in the midst of complete destruction. So there's like there was a Walmart nearby. A lot of the residents that had been displaced were in a tent camp in this Walmart parking lot. But the air quality's bad. It's not easy to breathe. We were running, the presidential motorcade would pull up. The president's car is probably, 50 to 100 yards in front of our vehicle. And then we got out, we were what's known as the network pool that day. So we were shooting for all the networks, CNN was. We share that responsibility. We rotate that every day with all the networks.
Yeah.
And, we started running down the street to get to where he was supposed to be, and we have our cameras and our tripod and backpack and things that we're trying to transmit out live with, and it became hard to breathe. And I was like, is this an altitude issue or is this the bad air? And it was, and I think it was the air was really, it was,
man,
it was thick, smoky air.
So for you, and, as somebody, Jay, that's been around this kind of stuff for 30 years, does your intellect, does your emotion kind of guard itself and kind of shut that side down as you're just there to really report the news, capture it on video and share it with the rest of us? Or how do you handle being in an environment like that?
So, you know, when you go into these situations, you first and foremost, you're a professional. You're going in to gather information. You're going in to show the rest of the world what you're seeing. So, you know, in my case, it's a lot of responsibility when you're the pool camera guy in those situations, or girl, because what you see is what everybody else is going to see.
Yeah.
And so you need to really be aware of that and understand that responsibility. So my job yesterday, you know, as the president was walking through a lot of these areas, was not really to focus so much on him, but to focus on him in the midst of this destruction. So a lot of the shots that you saw yesterday, or Sunday, I mean, from the destruction area, were a lot wider than what you would normally see of the president of the United States.
Right.
Usually,
right.
I'm very tight on him, getting his comments, this and that. But yesterday, I thought it was really important to show the scope of the destruction, and so you saw a lot more sort of wider perspectives than normally. Because we were in a much different situation. We weren't in the White House.
Yeah.
We weren't at a rally. You know, we were in an area where people had lost their lives. Many people had lost their lives.
Yeah, it's 77 dead right now.
How is that affecting him? What is that doing with him?
Right.
And so, you know, so we're trying to show these things. And you know, there's only so much you can show with pictures, but those were pretty compelling pictures.
Yeah, so I would imagine, because you've been around, who knows how many presidents in 30 years, eight.
Since Reagan.
Yeah, since Reagan. Amazing. And I would imagine when you're in those environments, and by the way, we're coming up on a break. Jay, do you have time? Can I hold you through the break and talk a couple more minutes? Okay, we'll definitely do that. But I would imagine when you're there and you're capturing footage of all that, that the reaction, the emotional reaction of these presidents is probably palpable.
It can be. Yeah, I mean, some of them, it really hits them a certain way, and, you know, others really show it, others really don't show it.
Yeah, a little more stoic.
Yeah.
Well, hold on a second.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to put you on hold. I'll be right back. We're talking to Jay McMichael, senior photojournalist at CNN. He's been there for 30 years, a good friend of mine, and a brother in Christ, and so he's just a great source. He was just there with the president in California. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking to my friend Jay McMichael. He's a 30-year senior photojournalist with CNN. So a lot of things you see when it's covered, like with the recent visit of the president to Paradise, California, and then down to Malibu. You're looking at some of Jay's handiwork, an amazingly talented man, and has become a good friend and a brother in Christ, and just brings a perspective that very few of us have. Jay, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
Sure thing, man. You got me out of some work, so thanks.
That's a good thing. So so you were there in Paradise, and then you guys went down to Malibu. So what was that like?
Malibu was also pretty crazy. You know, it's Malibu, if you've never been there, it's you know, right on the sea, right on the ocean. It's a picturesque, beautiful area. And then, you know, we went up on top of this, you know, mountaintop up top there, and look down over the valley, and you could just see where these fires had come up through. And the fire chief there had told us at one point they had a 14-mile wall of fire coming across these mountains. So how do you even defend that? How do you even fight that?
Right.
And, you know, and everybody can say what they want about raking and, you know, whatever, make America rake again or whatever you want to say about that stuff. You know, the fact of the matter is California is in the middle of a drought, and anything that touches the ground there can potentially set off a fire. So, you know, everybody can debate about whether that's a global warming issue or if it's a management issue or whatever. But I think what happened yesterday, at least that I saw, that encouraged me a little bit, just as an American looking at this, not as a journalist, but you could see where Jerry Brown and Newsom and the president, you know, we're trying to all be respectful of each other, which was really good.
Yeah.
If they had disagreements, they weren't airing them out right there. Normally, the president is not contained when he decides to let loose on people with criticism. And yesterday, I think he was. It felt like he was interested in understanding better how these fires were spreading.
Yeah.
And you know, he wants to say it's management, and other people want to say it's climate, and it's probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about all those things, and it's important to talk about all those things.
Right.
But the one thing
but the
that
bottom
we...
line is, bottom line is there's too many fires going on.
Right.
And people are getting killed.
That's right. People
but
are dying.
How do you do that? How do you address that? And,
right.
And I think he was, you know, I think he really was, I think he was genuinely looking for solutions on
sure.
how to reduce that from happening in the future.
And unfortunately, I think that the times when we see the goodness that still exists in America across the population, right and left and center, is when we have these terrible things happening and you still see Americans rally. They forget all their political differences, cultural differences, this, that, and the other thing. For me as a Christian, Jay, I mean, I'm looking at that going, okay, this is when the image of God shows up in everybody, because ultimately we have part of that in our DNA to be caring and to go out of your way to try to help your neighbor. And so it is somewhat helpful when we have these terrible things happen. It reminds us that we can still do life together in a productive way if we so choose.
For sure. And I think what discourages a lot of people in times like these are, you know, a president has an opportunity to galvanize the entire population over certain issues. And when 9/11 happened, Bush had the opportunity to do that. There have been different situations in the past where, hey, you know, we can galvanize, we can bring the country together. And sometimes presidents miss that opportunity. And so, you know, you hope that when there's a situation like this, that it doesn't become political, that it becomes about solutions, that it becomes about, you know, what's best for everybody in the situation involved, and that people drop the politics. And yesterday it didn't feel, Saturday, it was a 22-hour day. It still feels like yesterday.
I'm sure.
It felt like there was a little bit of that going on. So,
yeah.
You know,
that's good.
So we'll see. But as I like to say all the time, more to be revealed. You
know, for sure. Always the truth.
Yeah, and what's true today with this administration is not always true the next day.
Things change rapidly. Oh, my goodness, yeah. I never run out of things to talk about. All right, one last question, then I'll let you go. What's it like to travel around on Air Force One? That's pretty
cool. It's cool, man. I mean, you know, like, I would be lying if I didn't say it was cool. you know, I mean, it's like, it's cool. You come off the back of the coolest plane in the world, really, and you know, we've landed in other countries, and it's been a pretty amazing thing. You know, everybody's looking at the plane, and, you know, we're with the president, and we get off the plane with him. And I've landed in Israel with the president and Air Force One, France, a lot of different countries. And it's been a great experience every time. You know, it's not the plane you want to be in when you're on a really long trip, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
And now, ironically, they have a mock-up of Air Force One down at the National Harbor.
I saw that. There were pictures of it floating on a barge right past George Washington,
like, what's
Mount
Air Force
Vernon
One doing in the river. So but they do not have the press cabin in the back. So this is what I've been told. I haven't been in this thing, but I definitely want to take a little tour to see if how much it is like the real one. You know.
So is the press cabin in the back kind of like your regular cheap seats in a regular plane?
No.
I didn't think so.
I mean, we have 13 seats in the back. There's 13 press that always travel with the president, and those seats are in the back. So depending on what day it is, alphabetically, we rotate which network is the television network that flies that day.
Wow,
so,
cool.
So CNN was the network that day. The next day it would have been Fox, and then NBC the day after that.
Interesting.
So it's just, so people need to understand that it does not matter who the network is. We are representing all the networks.
Right. Yeah. That's that pool effect. Yeah. That's cool to know. It's helpful to know that. Jay McMichael, senior photojournalist with CNN. Thanks, buddy, for calling in and sharing with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. And I appreciate all you're doing, and have. Good luck with your radio show.
Thanks, pal. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, man.
See you in D.C. Okay, thanks, bud. Talk to you later. And he's a great guy. Jay McMichael's a great guy. He's got some stories, a lot of which he cannot share, but he's got some, especially publicly, but he's got some great stories. What a window on world history for the last 30 years as he's traipsed around. A lot of that with the presidents. He said every president, he's covered every president since Reagan. So really, really fascinating guy. And you know, I've talked to him about, I'll try to get him on the show to do some other things, but they have to be really careful because his job is not to be a commentator, not to be a kind of kind of what we would normally think of a journalist. His job is to get great video, great footage of things going on. But a fascinating guy, glad he could call in. So back to this question, and does this make you nervous that Donald Trump, because he was talking about how things change so rapidly with this administration. That's true, and a lot of administrations are like that. But I think in particular, the Trump administration. But Donald Trump endorsing Nancy Pelosi for House Speaker. She's the Republicans' whipping gal, but President Trump, this is an article I'm reading from, said Saturday that he endorses Nancy Pelosi wholeheartedly as House Speaker. Quote, "I can get Nancy Pelosi as many votes as she wants in order for her to be Speaker of the House," Trump tweeted. I'm like, really? That's interesting. "She deserves this victory," Trump said. "She has earned it. But there are those in her party who are trying to take it away. She will win!" Exclamation point. He later called her tough and smart, gushing to reporters, "I like her. Can you believe it?" He also told reporters that it's a good time for a government shutdown if he doesn't get funding for Congress for a wall along the border with Mexico. And if that weren't strange enough, this is interesting. 16 House never Nancy Democrats oppose Pelosi for Speaker. She's going to win anyway because you're not going to turn that thing around up there on either side of the aisle. But it is interesting to see that there's some pushback. That's the younger people coming in who are much more progressive and much more, if you can believe that, much more progressive. And like Ocasio-Cortez openly talking about being, socialistic, which is, you're like, really? Just come right out with it. No big deal. No blowback. But speaking of Ocasio-Cortez, this was her just the other day. She was doing a little video thing, right? And this is kind of amusing. I'm going to bring this up here so you can hear it. And when she was talking about the different branches of government, okay? And she just got elected to Congress.
Is that should we, and if we work our butts off to make sure that we take back all three chambers of Congress, all three chambers of government, the presidency, the Senate, and the House in 2020.
Okay, class, did you hear what's wrong? Did you get it? Are you with me? Did you hear that? Okay, let me play it for you again, just in case you missed it.
Is that should we, and if we work our butts off to make sure that we take back all three chambers of Congress, all three chambers of government, the presidency, the Senate, and the House in 2020.
Apparently, you don't really need to know intimately, thoroughly, and off the cuff, you don't really need to know the general structure of the American form of federal government. Three chambers. Okay, you can say there's two chambers in Congress. There's actually an upper house and a lower house. An upper chamber, lower chamber, upper chamber being the Senate, lower chamber being the House of Representatives. And then there's three branches of government, just in case you forgot and you plan on running for Congress. That would be the president. Yes, the executive branch. And then she mentioned the House and the Senate. That's called the legislative branch. And then there's a third. That's right, the judicial branch. Now everybody can mess up, right? But now that she's on the big porch with the big dog, she's going to get hammered right and left. Get used to it. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. And if you want to join us on, my voice is getting better. It was totally gone Thursday and Friday, but I'm feeling a lot better today. And so it's getting a little bit better, still a little bit froggy-ish, but please bear with me. But good to be with you. Normally on Mondays, of course, we do a Money Monday update at the end of the show. But David Fisher went into the hospital just yesterday. I think it was yesterday or Saturday night. A lot of different symptoms. He shared recently he's got some adult onset kind of asthma. But these are issues that have a little bit more to do with his heart. So it's pretty serious. I haven't gotten an update yet this afternoon. I was texting with him earlier today, asked him for permission if he would mind if we prayed for him together, because normally he would be with us right now. But it's pretty serious. And if you would do me the favor and just join me in prayer, let's pray for our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital and lift him up in prayer for healing and help and wisdom and all that. So let's do that now, and then we'll finish up with some other stories. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for how you've used David, not only in my life personally, but to be just a great supporter of this radio ministry, Lord, and this platform for a few years now. Lord, we know that his health issues are serious. So, Lord, we pray for healing. We just come boldly to the throne and pray for healing of his body, of his heart, of his asthma, these various things that are causing these challenges. Lord, we do pray and thank you for making mankind with creativity and an intellect and compassion that we have doctors and brilliant ones and research people, Lord. And we pray for all the ones that are around him now, that you would give them wisdom and discernment to help him, to care for him, to offer up the right kind of medications and treatments, Lord. We pray for his wife, Mary Ann, and his family, that you would strengthen them and comfort them during these challenging days. And just pray, Lord, straight out for healing for David, and that you'll bring him back to full health and wellness. If not right now, Lord, then by the end of the day or by tomorrow morning, just soon, Father. We just pray and call out and intercede for our friend David, and we ask all that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thanks. So let me go to this one. This is one of the more disturbing things I've seen, which is saying a lot. So this was on Good Morning America. And if you haven't heard about this kid named Desmond the Awesome, he's an 11-year-old drag queen. His parents are totally on board with all this. And the whole crowd at Good Morning America was totally behind it, cheering and whooping it up. So you'll hear his introduction, you'll hear a little video, and then you'll hear part of the interview, because I just want to keep – I was enraged and sickened by this, but I'm also broken and brokenhearted, not just about Desmond, this young boy. We'll follow him for the next 10 or 15 years, but his parents and the crowd and Good Morning America and these people that I'm sure all would say, oh, we love and care for our children. And this is just – it's really dark. So this just happened just the other day. This was on Good Morning America.
And if you haven't heard the name Desmond Napolis, get ready for this trailblazing 11-year-old.
Trailblazing.
Who RuPaul is calling the future. His bravery is inspiring so many. We're going to talk to him in just a moment. But first, let's take a look at his amazing story.
Bravery.
I'm Desmond. I'm 11 years old. And I like pizza, trains, and drinking root beers that's caffeine free.
I also do drag, and I love to put on makeup, dresses, and wigs, and of course, jewelry if necessary. My full drag name is Desmond. It's amazing. I feel very happy to have a mom that accepts me.
It really touches me deeply that there are other children out there that he's reaching, and they're listening to him, and he's influencing them to be themselves.
I'm very proud of him. I'm proud that he's found his path so early.
My greatest joy in this is just seeing Desmond happy.
I love doing drag because it makes me feel amazing and self-expressive. It just feels amazing to know that people love what I do. My one big message would be three words: be yourself always.
So he comes trotting in here. The crowd's going ballistic. He's wearing a yellow miniskirt and tights, and he's dressed up like a woman. Long hair, long, big, tons of makeup, and everybody's whooping it up. Good Morning America.
Hello, hello, Desmond. How are you? How you doing?
Thanks for being here. I love that you love root beer caffeine free. Mm-hmm. I can get on board with that.
My mom doesn't like me drinking caffeine.
Does it make you hyper?
You hear that? He's an 11-year-old boy dressed like a girl, and people are just cheering.
Yeah, me too. They don't like when I drink caffeine either. But, Desmond, you're one of the youngest and first drag queen / kids. Mm-hmm. And I've heard,
that's amazing.
I've gotten messages from young adults who look up to you for being who you are. What are some of the notes you've gotten?
Some of the notes I've gotten are like that you inspire me very much, and I wish I could have had the support that you have when I was a child. Yeah.
All right, so this just goes on, and I'm not going to subject you to any more of it, but it's just maddening on one hand. And yes, disgusting on one hand, and just so broken and so dark and so evil. And you go back to what his parents were saying, this little Desmond, the drag queen, 11-year-old drag queen. And they had him out in gay pride parades. That's the first time I saw the video like of him 2 years ago, and just out there flaunting and doing it. It's just so it's so abusive and so sick and twisted. And people just – Good Morning America just celebrating it, putting it up on a pedestal. Just amazing. But his parents say, you know, we just want him to be happy. Well, if he were doing crack and he said that made him happy, we're not there yet. Well, he crack makes him happy. So, and the parents just, we just want our boy to be happy. And setting an example? Really? I mean, this is right out of Romans chapter 1. And the thing you notice at the end of Romans chapter 1, it talks about a depraved mind, so they do what ought not to be done. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, and the list goes on, right? So God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. Men were abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. All this stuff goes in here. Men committed shameful acts with other men. On and on it goes. But here it is at the end in verse 32. Although they know God's righteous decrees, and those who do such things deserve death, that's eternal death, separation from God. They not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. And if that wasn't outright approval on behalf of Good Morning America and that network, I don't know what is. So, Lord, please help Desmond and help his parents and wake these people up. This is nothing short of child abuse. It's like the freak show. I know it sounds horrible. The freak show at the circus coming through town in the 1800s, and we put somebody like little Desmond out there for people to gawk at, which is exactly what we're doing. It's just so insane. Tomorrow I'll get to a story about a school punishing a male teacher for refusing to watch a girl get undressed who thinks she's a boy in the locker room. And I'm going to share that tomorrow, and then I'm going to totally change directions. I might share that tomorrow. Maybe it'll be Wednesday. And I want to do some things this week that we can help us be thankful. I've got something I wrote a couple years ago, 66 things to be thankful for from the 66 books of the Bible. I'll go through that on Wednesday. I'm going to open up the phones on Wednesday and then challenge all of us to call in and share one thing in the last year that you're really grateful for, really thankful for. No Sunday school answers, something specific. And that's really important. And for us to focus, because there's so much darkness, whether it's political or cultural, this kind of stuff going on with this little boy, 11 years of age, on Good Morning America, and they're cheering and celebrating as he's walking down this dark road. It's emotional abuse, mental abuse, probably physical abuse at some level. If not now, then later. And the crowd that's pulling him in, the whole transgender, transvestite, drag queen crowd, I mean, it's so broken. It's just unbelievable. So if you're not, and if I'm not regularly praying over this country, boy, and how God tolerates all this, I have no idea, because he's just so full of grace and mercy. It's just remarkable. Let me remind you of this before we run out of time. One of our great partners here on the Truth Radio Network, but all over the country, it's a great ministry called MediShare. And just over 300,000 Christians nationwide banding together. I know it sounds like a radical idea. Banding together. Go read the first three or four chapters in the book of Acts. You'll see where this idea came from. And they cover each other's major medical expenses. You learn how to manage your medical expenses. You don't run to the doctor every time you have a runny nose, but you start to control it, which is great stewardship, which is why the Noble family switched. We started using MediShare like 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And it's just, besides the fact that it makes sense financially and you can save hundreds of dollars a month, it makes great sense biblically. As Christians, we don't need the government in our own family of faith. Do you think we really need unemployment? If we don't have a resource problem, we have an allocation problem. The reason people are starving and all these things are going on is because ultimately we don't care. It's the same reason why we really don't share the gospel much, is ultimately we don't really care. Now, in MediShare, you have Christians all across the nation, over 300,000 of them, now sharing because they care about each other, sharing major medical expenses. It gets you out of Obamacare. You go totally around that whole system. You actually learn how to walk in and say, hey, I'm gonna pay you today for this basic visit and work out the price. The stewardship is outstanding, and it makes you aware of what's going on with medical costs. And it's just a great way to bless other Christians and to be blessed. So I hope you'll take the time to check out MediShare. 844-74-BIBLE is their phone number, 844-744-BIBLE. And I hope you'll check it out and get the information. Again, people are saving hundreds of dollars a month, some people $500 and more, to get around it. Because the last time when we switched to MediShare years ago and started using it back then, we were like at $1,400 a month for insurance. They're like, it was literally unaffordable. And so MediShare just became a great opportunity, a great option. 844-744-BIBLE is the phone number. 844-744-BIBLE. I'm hoping tomorrow, just an incredibly gifted, talented singer-songwriter, Christian singer-songwriter, Shelley Moore, hopefully is going to come in tomorrow, bring a guitarist with her, and we'll talk to her, and she'll sing. She's got an amazing voice, really, really talented. get us away from all the nightmares and the news and things that are important, yes, but man, we can't have a steady diet of everything that's wrong. So we'll spend some time talking to her tomorrow and listen to her sing about the Lord. And then on Wednesday, we'll turn it all towards thankfulness. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again soon. And as my dad always said, ever forward.